Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Oh, and we better pray for Jim. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over Jim, and we come against this sickness that has attacked his body. And we command it to be broken off of him, and his head be cleared up, and his nose be cleared up, and quit coughing, and that he can be strong and healed in every way. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. You know, and there's a lot of crazy ideas about discerning the body of Christ, but discerning the body of Christ is specifically looking at this body, this bread, which represents his body. And when we look and see the different things that happened to him in his passion and his sacrifice, that's discerning the body of Christ. You know, one really good thing about the communion is if you do get sick, go take communion. There's been times I woke up in the morning, I couldn't hardly talk. And I remember one time I went down to Ron's house and I could barely talk good enough to tell him he might have to do the service. And I ran back down here and took communion, and then I was well enough to do the service and nobody got sick, but I went home and passed out. But the body of Jesus, we need to understand, his body was absolutely perfect. And this bread is made without yeast, and yeast is significant sin in the Bible. We need to understand that Jesus never made a mistake, ever. He never once sinned. So we're looking at this perfect body of his that was beaten and bruised for us. The Bible tells us that he was beaten for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. And we look at this bread, we'll notice there are stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And it was intentional, and we get redemption for it in some area. You know, not only was he... did he get a spear thrust into his side when he was on the cross? But he shed blood when he got a crown of thorns. And he shed blood when he got nails in his hands. And he shed blood when he got a nail in his feet. You'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. And that means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. So we can look at this. We can see Jesus' body carrying our sins, our iniquities, carrying our diseases, our sicknesses, our poverty, every part of the curse he took for us so that we could walk free. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and well-being. Not only will the communion make you well when you get sick, it can also keep you from getting sick. Believe God for everything you can get. We honor the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. We know that it washed away our sins. We need to know that it also justified us freely by His grace. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we've been put into right standing with God. And it's because of that blood that we can go boldly into His presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. So we thank You for this blood. We honor it in Jesus' name. Open up in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ. And what a celebration that is. You know, when Jesus was born, the angels came down and they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But there were some particular things that needed to happen. And it happened some 33 years later. You know, God created Adam and Eve in the garden, and He never intended for man to ever be out of His presence. But Adam sinned, and he got kicked out of the presence of God. And then for thousands of years, man made a lot of attempts to try to get back into the presence of God. And that's where we came up with all these different religions. That was man's attempt to get back into the presence of God. And then one day, God built a bridge from heaven to earth. And it took 3 nails, 2 boards, and 1 lamb. And the result of that was 3 men on 3 crosses on 1 hill. See, Jesus was the one man that was born to die. Man was not supposed to die. Did you know that? We were not supposed to die. God told Adam, said, do not eat of that tree lest you die. You know, Adam ate of that tree, and it took him another 800 some years to die physically, but he died spiritually immediately. And he was forever cut away from the presence of God. But these 3 men on these 3 crosses on this hill tell us a story. And each one of us have been at these crossroads at some point in time. Let's just look at the significance of this. You know, one man cursed God. One man prayed, and one man promised. Luke verse 23, verse 39 says, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. One man was in the same predicament as the other two. But he chose to rail on the one that could save him. You know, the other man, he looked over at him in verse 40 and said, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we deserved it, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. These 2 men, you know, they were in the same storm. One chose one boat, the other chose another. One chose to blame God, and the other chose to call on the name of Jesus, call on God. He did the only thing he could do. You know, there's a lot of people trying to earn their salvation. They're trying to work hard to get to heaven. They even have songs about that. This guy was on the cross. You know, he was nailed to the cross too. You know something about that guy? He never went to church. Never read his Bible. He never paid tithes. He never got baptized. He never spoke in tongues. He didn't do any of the things that a lot of people seem to demand that you do. But he did the one thing that could get him to heaven. He called on the name of the Lord Jesus. He did the only thing that anybody could do. Now let's look at Jesus' part in this. In verse 31, verse 43, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus promised him, you shall be in paradise. Now, paradise is no more. See, they were held in Abraham's bosom. People were held in Abraham's bosom until Jesus could rise back from the dead and go set the captives free. Now, you go to heaven, or you don't. Abraham's in heaven now. We're not held in his bosom anymore. You know, one man died condemned, and one died forgiven, and one died innocent. You know, Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto me, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. You know, that's the one sin that can't be forgiven, is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, to clarify what that is, that's by denying what Jesus did for you on the cross. If you do not receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is nothing that you can that God can do for that. That's the one sin that will get man sent to hell, and it'll be man's choice. He has a free will. One of the most irritating things in the whole world to me is I've known several people that committed suicide. And invariably, there'll be somebody standing around saying, well, that's an unpardonable sin. No, that's not. The one sin that's unpardonable is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. God has mercy on people in pain and suffering. We need to understand that. He is a merciful God. And sometimes people get into too much pain and suffering, they can't take it anymore. And they do have a right to go home. The man on the cross next to Jesus could have called out and said, Jesus saved me, but he didn't. And he died condemned. Another man died forgiven. You know, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, God will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, that's pointed to the lost. That's not for Christians. I've made a lot of preachers mad over the time saying that. But in every chapter that John wrote, he said, "My beloved." He addressed Christians. And then when we get to 1 John, chapter 1, he didn't address them the same way because he was witnessing to Gnostics. See, a good thing about God is he wants us to have a righteousness consciousness. But if we're running around asking God to forgive us every time we turn around, we're going to have a sin conscience and we're going to be frustrated. And sometimes we act as if it's our obedience and something to do with us, we get forgiven. You know, when John was witnessing to these Gnostic people, he said, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's 1 John 1:7. See, Paul knew he was forgiven. He didn't keep asking God to forgive him. He accepted it. He received his forgiveness and he walked in it. And he also knew that he made mistakes. He knew he was challenged. But he walked in the light. And he had a righteousness conscience. It took the Holy Spirit a little while to convince him of that. See, it takes the Holy Spirit a little while to convince us of that. But that's his ministry. He convinces us that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is not a big, scary religious word anymore when you understand that it means right standing. Just clarify it just a little bit. It's a legal word, right? It's a legal word, so if you're righteous, you're in right standing, right? That means you've been judged, and the verdict came back innocent. You're in right standing because of what Jesus did for you on that cross. And in fact, the Bible tells us that when God raised Jesus back to life, we got justified freely by his grace. You can look at that word justified as justified, never sinned. Because that's what happened. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Did you know a new creature has no past? Your slate's been washed clean. But what about the mistakes I've made since I've been born again? The blood of Jesus was there cleansing you. You know, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Out of the three men on that cross, there was one man that died innocent. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, he never ever made a mistake. But he was tempted. With everything that we've ever been tempted with, he was tempted with it. See, Satan didn't just tempt him with a little bit of alcohol or a chocolate cake or a little bit of money. He threw everything he had at him. He actually at one time put him on a pinnacle and he said, you look out over everything out here. I'll give everything that you see, I'll give it to you because it's been given to me. Isn't that curious? And you wonder why Satan could say it's been given to me? Because Adam handed it over to him. That would be a great temptation because it was in Jesus' possession at one time. And that's what he came to get. But there could be no shortcut. Oftentimes we're tempted with shortcuts and we want to take the easy way through. And you know, here's something that we need to understand, that it's the good enough things that keep us from the best that God has for us. Sometimes we'll settle. You know, we'll just settle for good enough so we don't have to go through the strife and pain to get to the best. But thank God Jesus didn't do that. He went through all of it so that we could have the best. See, this sacrifice, I believe God was shouting hallelujah all the way through all of it because he knew what it was doing. He was getting his creation back. Man, that's good news. Jesus was doing things that we could not possibly do. And he did it. He took a punishment that he did not deserve. He got us out of a mess that we couldn't get out of so that we could receive blessings that we don't deserve. Amen. You know, one man died in sin on that cross. One man died to sin on that cross. And one man died for sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You have the quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This guy had an open door right up to the end. But he clung to his old life and he died in sin. God left that door open for him until he took his last breath. You know, we don't know when that last breath is going to be. I witnessed to a friend of mine one time. And I said, Pat, you need to get born again. And he said, how many times do I got to do that? I said, what do you mean, how many times you got to do that? You know, he got baptized 7 times one summer. Because one church camp went there where he worked, and they got him baptized. Then another church camp come in a week later. They told him he did it all wrong, so they baptized him their way. A couple weeks later, another church came in. They said, you didn't do it right. They got him baptized again. He got baptized 7 times. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be like that man on that cross. And I'm going to wait until the last dog is hung. And I'm going to say, Jesus, save me. You know, we don't always have the knowledge of when our last breath is going to be. You know, sometimes we don't even know when we're close. Our decisions need to be made firmly before that chance is ever taken. Look at Romans chapter 6. You know, one man died to sin. You know, he said, Jesus, save me. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, we died to sin when we got born again. And verse 11 says, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our lives are hidden in Christ. The minute we get born again, we get baptized into the body of Christ. You know, that's the one baptism that is needful for salvation. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ, and it didn't take water. It took blood. No minister can do that. Only the Holy Spirit. He made you part of the body of Christ. That was the one baptism that was needed for salvation. You know, another man died for sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 10 says, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to do a lot of sacrifices, and they had to have a continual sacrifice every year. They had to have a shedding of blood so they could have an atonement for their sin. You know, that was just a covering. In the Old Testament, you just got a covering. But in the New Testament, when you get born again, the blood of Jesus remits your sins. That means that it takes your sins completely gone, washes them away. You know, you might say that God puts those sins in the sea of forgetfulness because he forgets them. And people have a habit of going and fishing them up and talking about them. See, we need to not do that. We need to let them gone. We don't want a sin conscience. We want a righteousness conscience. We want to go forward in Christ. You know, sometimes people like to hold people's sins against them. For evidently, it makes them feel a little more righteous. I don't know. But we need to understand that if we're ever going to have a righteousness conscience, we're going to have a forgiveness conscience. We need to understand that if the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that was applied to us, the blood of Jesus that we're counting on for our salvation, you know, the blood of Jesus that we believe washed away our sins, if that blood of Jesus is not good enough for your neighbor, how do you reckon it's going to be good enough for you? See, Jesus died on the cross for all sin. See, if we're going to have a righteousness conscience, we need to have a forgiveness conscience. You know, one man was held by death. One man was released by death, and one man conquered death. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. You know something? God is going to set his tabernacle up on this earth. And we are going to have one church. This is good news. The Bible tells us that God is going to bring us together in the unity of the faith. Now, he didn't say he was going to bring us together in the unity of the doctrine, but the unity of the faith. Those that are born again, we're going to all be one happy little church. We're not going to be Methodist. We're not going to be Baptist. We're not going to be Catholic. We're not going to be non-denominational. We're not going to be none of that. We're going to be the body of Christ with no division. Praise God. But that one man that's held by death won't partake in that. There is a great white throne judgment. Now, whether you're born again or not, your names are wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about getting our names wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's preachers come up with that. The Bible does say something about getting our names blotched out of the Lamb's Book of Life. If we end up in a position where we're held by death, our names will be blotched out. See, once you get born again, your name is forever written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and your name will not be blotched out. So you won't see the great white throne judgment. You're not going to see that. That's for people that are held by death. You know, one man was released by death because of the death of Christ. Because he died and rose again. We walk free. We're no longer held by death. You know, in fact, the Bible says, oh, death, where is your sting? See, there's no sting in a second death for us. See, when we wear our bodies out and we have to change addresses, you know, we always say, well, they died. Well, their body wore out and they went home. Wherever home may be, that's where they went. Make no mistake about it, you will live forever. Just make sure that you have the right address to go to when you leave your body. You know, Jesus conquered death when he came back to life. You know, he was in that grave for 3 days. But when the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that gave you a new heart of flesh, raised Jesus back to life, he conquered death. We no longer have to fear death. You know why people are afraid of death? Because it's a mystery. Death is a mystery to man because we were not created to die. Death came from the devil. Not God. We were not created to die. We were created to keep on going and spreading that garden out. But because of our sin-stained blood, Jesus had to die on the cross to set us free from the fear of death. You know, out of all the fears and phobias that people have, they're all rooted in the fear of death. You know, there's people that hoard up food because they're afraid of starving to death. There's people that won't live north of the Canadian River because they're afraid of freezing to death. You made it. Out of all the fears, you know, fear of heights, people are afraid of being too high because they're afraid of falling to their death. All the fears that are out there are rooted in the fear of death. We don't need to be afraid of death. Matter of fact, all the dying that needs to be done has already been done. Now we're alive unto Christ. Now those three men on that hill, one lost life. One gained life. And one won his life. You know, James chapter 5, verse 20. Let him know that he which covereth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, when sins are forgiven, life is gained. And this man, see, there's kind of a bad idea floating around. You know, we'll run around and we'll say, get born again and live forever with Jesus. Well, that's true, but at least the idea that maybe if you don't get born again, you'd just be lost in limbo or something like that. Make no mistake about it, you are going to live forever. This body that we see is not the real you. This is your temporary home. It's your earth suit. Your spirit, which is the real you, and your soul is attached to your spirit. I mean, your mind, will, and your emotions, your feelings. When you wear your earth suit out, you're going to go somewhere else. And you will be alive. Whether you go to heaven or hell, you will be alive. And if you're in heaven, you're good to go. But if you end up in hell, you're going to be forever tormented with no chance of escape. That's why it's so important to make a decision for Christ today. Now, you guys are born again. But there's people that watch these videos all over the place. And I never know who I'm talking to. It surprises me all the time when somebody says, I watch your videos. And I look at them, I think, I never would have thought that. You know, one man gained life. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses was lifted up, the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the heart of everything. Jesus came to save us. You know, when we get born again, we're saved, we're going to go to heaven. But that word salvation has a whole lot more to do with than just being born again. You know, there's healing attached to that. There's protection. There's deliverance. There's all kinds of things attached to that. You're still being saved while you're on this earth. Are you done being healed? Then you're not done being saved. And then when we meet Jesus face to face, he will complete our redemption. What a glorious day that'll be. You know, John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. Jesus is the life. He is the light. He is the way. Our lives are wrapped up in him. In fact, John Baptist, he said that he needed to decrease so that Jesus could increase. And we're all in the same boat. The more of him we take into us, the less of us that we have left, which is a good trade-off. You know, the more we feed on him, the more we read his word and look into him, the more him will come into us. We'll be abiding in the vine. He'll change us from the inside out. It may take a little while. Some of us are a little harder headed than others. But he will change us. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for the birth of Christ. Father, we thank you for everything Jesus is. We thank you, Father, that he died on the cross for our sins. And Father, we thank you that he sent Holy Spirit here to guide us and teach us and show us, comfort us. He comforts us in times of need. He convinces us of our righteousness. And Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we do have a good setup of food over here. And I want to invite everybody to come back and partake of some and visit a little bit.